Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, September 8th, 2014. Thank you for tuning in tonight. The call-in number is 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 if you'd like to speak on the air. Otherwise, we just let you sit out there and listen. Also, the chat room is open. I have it open right now. If you want to submit any questions or comments, you can do that. Tonight, we're going to have a very lively discussion here, and I'm starting in about 10 minutes with Christine Timmon. Now, Christine's been on the Tuesday show, the American Freedom Watch Radio that we do on Tuesdays. She is a, what do you want to call it, the mastermind, guru, subject matter expert of the Constitution. We're going to talk about the Constitution and also how it impacts immigration, whose job it is, who isn't, who has rights, states' rights, etc. So that's going to be very interesting. I'm going to give her pretty much the whole time to just explain it and go over it because she's got an awful lot of information. But first, she'll talk about the fact that she is a candidate for lieutenant governor, and her and Charles Tolbert are running as write-in candidates, NPA, no party affiliates. And so she's going to talk a little bit about that, tell you her background. But then we're going to get knee-deep into the Constitution and into the immigration issue and whatever else may come up. But we really need to understand the Constitution, and we've got to understand our rights. We cannot just surrender our rights because we have people in public office that say we don't have them. Just because they say it doesn't make it so. Just because we have a president, and the president and other presidents in the past, who don't want to honor and abide by the Constitution doesn't mean they have the right to do it. It's just so disgraceful as to how the dumbing down of Americans has been successful. And, I mean, we've been dumbed down. We've been turned into a bunch of serfs and we don't even know it. And others are just too busy playing games, and everything we're hearing in pro sports today, I mean, it's just totally nuts. This is what so many American people are focused on. It's like, I don't care. Anybody that's out there worrying about calling a team Redskins versus something else, that they show that they don't have any core values. Because, first off, it's not an insult. It's a compliment. It's a symbol of strength and teamwork, and that you're going to be successful. You're going to win, you know, kind of thing. So it's not an insult, but these are people who have nothing better to do, and they want to dumb you down, and they want to put you into this other mindset instead of dealing with what's really important kind of stuff. Now, a couple of things that happened, good old Obama this weekend, he was being interviewed by Todd, whatever his name is, on who's now the Meet the Press person. They're never going to have anybody as good as Tim Russert used to be on there, but they keep trying. But anyway, but he's interviewing Obama, and this is the debut of him on Meet the Press routine, blah, blah, blah. And they're talking about the fact that he went and played golf right after talking about the guy's head being beheaded, the journalist being beheaded, and he didn't think that was going to look right. Now, this, you know, this is a president who it was strictly not through his knowledge or his abilities that got him elected. It was all through his campaigning and marketing skills. His, I don't want to call it charisma, but his ability to BS his way through is why he got elected. And yet he's trying to act like, well, he should have known that there were going to be people watching him after he left or something. It was, what he said was so stupid. And, I mean, it went into, he said, the problem is, you know, when you're on vacation, you think you're on vacation, and you really don't get to take a vacation. And, you know, if I had been there interviewing him, I would have said, well, why did you go and why did you want to be president of the United States if you didn't want to work? I mean, did you really you're not going to be there but for 2 more years, then you'll be on vacation for the rest of your life. I will have worked so many more hours than you ever dream of working, and I work more hours every year than you ever do. So please, don't give me any. You're whining that you want to take a vacation. You're the president of the United States. Give me a break. You should be skipping the vacations, not taking more of them. I mean, the whole attitude about it is like, he didn't get to take his vacation, and people were bothering him. So, well, I mean, golly, he couldn't do that. But, you know, the journalist just had his head whopped off. What are, you know, it's just so disgusting. But this is how sick this thing, you know, what we become. But anyway, no one's going to ever convince me. As the stuff we see happening today, more and more, he's out there being a pro a anti-American president. He's anti-anything for the American people. He's pro-everything against them. That's why he's trying to push. You know, he's going to do the amnesty thing, but then, wait a minute, he's getting all those liberals out there, his Democrat friends out there saying, don't come to my state, you know, no amnesty right now. Do that after the election. Do that then. And of course, Lord only knows what these crazy Republicans will do at that point. But he doesn't have the right to do this. And yet, it's just the games that are being played on the American people and that we sit there. The other thing I got to mention, two things here. I was hearing a report about a bunch of children all having respiratory problems, and they were saying pretty much in the Midwest. It was a large area of the country, but not coast to coast yet. I find it very interesting that we've had this massive influx of children into this country, and all of a sudden we have all these children that are sick. Gotta explain that one to me. And, you know, I mean, I think I know what it is, but come on, it just seems a little bit too obvious there. And then also, just so for those of you who don't know, September is Hispanic Heritage Month. And Governor Rick Scott was out there pandering to the Hispanics. And what I know of the Hispanics when it comes to Florida and you know, other parts of this country, Spain surrendered. They gave up Florida. They weren't quite as successful as people try to make them sound. But it's all a matter of pandering. Instead of being Americans, we're going to go pander to these different factions, which is going to divide us, and we will never survive as a country as long as we're divided. So I've been really out there trying to say, the fact of the matter is we have a racist government. Here in Orange County, Florida, they got something going on for the Hispanic Heritage Month, and then Rick Scott's out there writing how wonderful, you know, how much the Hispanics have contributed to Florida's culture and history and all this, and I'm like, you people don't have a clue what you're talking about. The truth is there's been more damage done, unfortunately, by many Hispanics across this country when it comes to different things, and La Raza happens to hate America and wants to take it down. But let's go ahead and honor them. Let's reward them for what they do. Let's reward them because they hate America. And why do we have a Congressional Hispanic Caucus? You know, that isn't anything we need. We have a racist government, a government that goes out there and picks who it wants to support and who it doesn't. We're no longer all Americans. And we have Muslims. Okay, we're out there supporting the Muslims. We're out there supporting the homosexuals. We're out there supporting the Latinos. If we can't get back to being Americans, I don't think we stand a chance. But with that being said, I see our guest is here, so I am going to go ahead and get Christine on the phone here. And hey,
well,
Christine, how are you doing?
I've been listening to you, and I've been fuming. And so I'm going to, because a lot of things I'm going to say are going to be so far out there until people are just going to say, she's got to be nuts. But everything I'm going to say to you tonight, you can find it online or in the United States Constitution, or you can call me and I can send you copies and pictures and everything to prove what I'm saying to you is true. Now, my name is Christine Timmon, and I reside in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And at this time, I'm running for Lieutenant Governor of Florida with Dr. Charles Frederick Talbert. And we're waging a pretty, pretty good campaign for write-in persons. And the reason I'm doing this is because I am not satisfied with Rick Scott trying to go back as the governor of Florida. And the reason I'm not satisfied with it is because he vetoed his own party at least three times on the most important issue for Florida, and that was the illegals practicing law in court, and also the illegals getting tuition grants. Now, 91% of the Floridians said no grants. The Republicans tried their best not to do it, but Rick Scott got with some of the people behind, the Republicans behind everybody's back, and pulled it in for the Democrats. Now, on the alimony reform issue, everybody, 96% of the people, even the Democrats, they had supermajority override. Rick Scott waited until it wasn't enough people there on scene, and then he vetoed it behind everybody back. And a few days later, the session was over, and it lost momentum, so they didn't get called for a special session to override him because they couldn't get the people to do it. So that's why I'm in it, because I feel like this about it. The other side, not your own people, especially when 91 and 96% of the people support what they're doing, all the parties, all the people on the street supported not doing anything else for illegals, and then Rick Scott did all these things. So that's why I'm actually running for governor, and I'm going to give you some of my background that qualifies me for this. I have been going to United States District Court as a pro se litigant since the late 90s. I'm one of the people that sat with the 104th Congress, and when they brought down Rick Scott, when his company, Columbia ATA, they shut down every one of his companies all over the country, had the FBI run up in there and raid them. Rick Scott is the one that testified 75 times the Fifth Amendment. I didn't know everything that they were doing, but I was right there with them, and I have some of it in my book. And in the next week or two, you can go onto my website and see a whole lot of things from the days of old days of Rick Scott and what all happened to get us in this immigration mess. So I will give you my website before we hang up the phone. I'll give you that a couple of times. Now, that's one of my qualifications. I'm a pro se litigant. That means I can go to a U.S. District Court or any court and prosecute the government. Pro se means you are actually the one prosecuting. You're not. It's not like if you're a defendant and you don't have an attorney, then you're representing yourself. But if you have a claim against the government or anybody and you don't need an attorney, you do it yourself, then you're the prosecutor. So I've been doing this for years. If you Google Christine Timmons and the city of Lansing, you're going to see the Lansing officials. They owe me about $45 million. They got immunity. Barack Obama, Harry Reid, the whole of Congress, I beat them on the immigration issue just 2 years ago in 2012. Jim Matola, Snow, and Scolar, three federal judges, said I'm correct that immigration really belongs to the states, but the feds, they get sovereign immunity again. See, what immunity means, any type of immunity that the government get, it means they're guilty. It's a matter of being able to overturn the immunity, but it's not that easy to do. Well, it can be done, but at least you know if the court sends you back a letter saying they get immunity, that means you won. If the court sends you a letter back and it says you failed to state a claim, that means you lost. Any immunity means you won. So what you do, you stick with that case, even if it takes 15 or 20 years, and you can still win it. It happens all the time. If you Google the state of Michigan, Neal class action, you will see where 17 years later they had to pay out $100 million. So I got a lot of cases I've already won against the U.S. government on immigration, and I've been trying to get Rick Scott and Pam Bondi to join in so we can rush it on up in the Supreme Court. We can make billions of dollars, and it will stop the immigrants from being deported. Once you register with a state and become a legal resident, even if you don't get sworn in to be there forever, they can't deport you. So Rick's got so much to help the Hispanics. How come he hasn't told them that if they register with the state of Florida, they won't be deported? Why hasn't he done that? See, he's just full of it. What he's doing now, he's trying to pattern them for votes, but I don't think it's going to work. I really don't think it's going to work. So that's one of my best qualifications, is I am a pro se litigant, and I do know how to take the government down. And my next one is, back in the 90s, in the 104th Congress, I was the one who wrote every one of the welfare reform laws. Technically, I'm the one who stopped the drug wars in America. I know everybody remembers Noriega and Escobar and all the Colombian drug dealers. And have you noticed you haven't heard from them in years, have you, Sally? No, you haven't heard their names mentioned. And here's why. When the 104th Congress came in, I worked with them and sat with Congressman Dick Chrysler, and I gave them a chart. I'm talking sometime would be as many as 50-some of the new Republican congressmen were there when they sent the Democrats out of the lead in the House and Senate, and they technically, they listened to me. And I sat at the congressional table, and I told the black people in the audience and the media, don't start talking about no mean white Republicans, because I'm writing the laws. Republicans had no idea of what was going on. And I passed that chart around. It shows you from the top of the drug dealers, the cartel, the million-dollar man, $500,000, on down to the $10,000 man. That's the man who goes into welfare houses and sells the drugs. There were millions of welfare women selling drugs. And I explained to the Congress in front of everybody that if you just write the laws, so from now on, if they get caught with drugs, their checks are gone. The way the Democrats had it for all those years, 20-some-odd years, don't care what they did with drugs. You could not stop the check. If they got evicted, they picked up the check at the welfare office or at their mama's house, and then 2 or 3 months later, the public paid the rent and deposit all over again, and they kept this vicious cycle going on for about 25 years, destroyed all the African-American communities, destroyed the education process, and I was tired of it, so I joined the Republican Party in 1994 because they were the only ones that wanted to stop it. And when we got through with it, you notice you haven't heard from a drug cartel since. They don't have any houses anymore. And anybody who wants a copy of that chart can call me, and I'll mail it to them. It was an actual system going on from the cartels right into the welfare houses. The young men at the $10,000 level, they were all poor people, and they didn't have houses to live in to sell the drugs out of, so they had a system called Get a Vote. I kept hearing my nephew talking about, I'm going to give me some drugs, I'm going to give me a vote. I said, well, what are you talking about? Get your own welfare. And that was a national thing. Back when the Wall Street Journal used to put Noriega and them on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. You ain't seen them there because I stopped every bit of that. So that's why I'm telling people what I'm going to say to you is going to sound far out. But if you want a copy of the letter from Congress, Congressman Dick Chrysler, he wrote it in his own handwriting. P.S., I got the Christine Timmer law passed. It was based on the Amendment Act of Authority of the United States Housing, and it's called One Strike and You're Out, and it slows drug deals out of government houses. I shut down millions of federal dope houses and stopped it all. It was a simple solution. The simple solution is stop the welfare women. And the same thing goes for immigration, Sally. Believe it or not, guess who? You know, everybody keeps talking about Congress and the Democrats and the President and the Republicans insofar as immigration goes. But technically, it's not their fault. Technically, the United States judges, the federal judges. When you go on my website, it's www.c as in cat, F as in Frank, A as in apple, B as in boy, America.com. When you go on that site, you're going to see a handsome picture of Dr. Talbert. He's running for the governor of Florida, and I'm his lieutenant governor, and believe me, he's working me. You can believe that. And what you're going to see for the August the 25th, you're going to see from Justice, Supreme Justice Stephen J. Markman, what he has to say. He's the person who, under President Reagan, he was an assistant attorney general. He's the one who wrote the laws for the selection of federal judges. He did a dissertation in 2010 at the Kirby Center, Alan P. Kirby Center in D.C., before hundreds of Congress people and judges, federal judges, and he told them that the federal court was out of control and that they had taken over the American government, and they were running a judiciary power government by changing the Constitution into what they call today's living Constitution to deal with today's problems so they can fix things the way they want to fix it. And he explained to us that they are unaccountable and it's time to reform them and that they are responsible for bad things like the way immigration is going. You can't really blame Congress because the federal judges, everything that comes out of the president's office or Congress has to go under judicial review. any federal judge who is on the review team, if they do a law that's not in the Constitution, does not have a clause, they can't let them do it. But about 40 years ago, they stopped doing that. When the Democrats, they did it because they run the country for 40 years, and they put everyone in federal judges in there for 40 years. And back about 35, 40 years ago, when they wanted to start bringing Mexicans here for votes, see, after Kennedy got killed, the blacks were a little leery about voting for them again, and the white people too. So they started bringing Mexicans, and they put the Mexicans in all the industrial states up north, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Illinois, Ohio, New York, and Pennsylvania. That's where the industrialism was. And that's the first time we heard of drugs proliferating in America. They put them in the industrial states where the black people lived. And they had to do that because the black people were the ones who originally invented all the patents that Tom Edison, Graham Bell, the car manufacturer, the train people, Westinghouse, Nabisco, GE, they got their patents from them. So what they wanted to do was destroy industrialism, so they started with the states where it was at. And they flooded those states, those areas with drugs, and 3 years later, those states were ruined with drugs, and all of the manufacturing was in Mexico, and they were giving the Mexicans entitlements. The next thing you knew, they was coming across that border by the hundreds because they showed documentaries. Instead, the Border Patrol couldn't stop them because the federal judges had wrote a lot of laws to stop the state police from saying anything to them. And with so many laws being written, then they stopped sneaking across the border and just walked across and told the state, the Border Patrol, to shut up. They go into any immigration office and you register, even if you're illegal. You register anyway because the day that you register, if it takes them 6 months to process you, then you're going to get every dime. Your debit card is going to be loaded. That's why they're coming here. They're not coming here because we're cute. They're coming here because these federal judges have wrote up all these treasonous laws. And I don't understand, excuse me, they are Americans too. Why are they doing this to America? So I want everybody who's listening to stop thinking that this is Congress and even Obama. It ain't him. Because the federal judge is supposed to tell him you can't do that. If they don't stop him, well, shoot. We don't know. He's so stupid, he might not even know he ain't supposed to be doing that. But the federal court's supposed to tell him. So they're the ones who's at fault for all this stuff. And it serves that these people on these trains, the federal judges are the ones who's doing that. That's not Congress. The federal judges. So therefore, when you go online to www.cfabamerica.com for the August the 4th letter to Congress, you're going to see Dr. Talbert and I explaining to the Congress, if we get the lead in the House and Senate the next time, all Republicans, then we got an opportunity. Because believe it or not, they really want to help this situation, but they can't because they have to follow the law. The laws now are written to help them, and ain't nothing they can do because it's a split house. But have you noticed Republicans haven't written anything? And that one guy who tried to do something, Eric Cantor, he was thrown out, ceremoniously thrown out. And they stripped him of all of his titles after he went down in the primary. Now, they didn't have to strip it, but they did because they told him, don't start any amnesty talking all that, and he did it anyway. So they've been trying to hold the line down to see if we're going to get to leave, and they're asking that the public try to give them a hand with the Constitution because they don't know everything. So that's what we've been doing. So in that letter, we explained to them to put the U.S. Marshal in front of every federal courthouse, in front of every federal judge office, tell them to pack up their stuff and get out and reform the federal court into about a six-year court. And the way you do that is very easy. As easy as it was for me to stop the drug cartels from coming here selling dope, the same thing is just that easy. Article 3, Section 1, 2, and 3. The first section says, the judiciary of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordained and established. The second clause says the judges, both supreme and inferior, are there doing good behavior. The third clause says that they are compensated for time served. Did you hear me say anything about lifetime? No. It says Congress can ordain and establish the inferior courts from time to time. That's the federal district court and the federal appeals court. With a simple up or down vote, they can tell all of them, thank you for your service. We're going to compensate you for the time that you were here, but we're going to a six-year court, and you need to go and register to be elected. And the way we elect our judges, instead of letting the president do it, you go to Article 2, Section 2. The first part gives the president the power over the Supreme Court with the confirmation of the Senate. At the bottom, it says, but Congress may by law, if they think proper, vest the appointment of the inferior officer court in the president alone. So you look at today's world, is it proper now? No, it is not, because about 100 districts don't have a federal judge. The president of today can't do that. Back in the old days, during the 1700s, 18th, and even in early 50s, it wasn't as bad as it is now. It's 300-some-odd people here now. The president can't do that anymore. So here's what Congress can do with a simple up or down vote. Send the federal district and appellate judge to be voted in by the circuit. The circuit for our area is 11th Circuit, Florida, Georgia, and I believe Alabama. Everybody in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama vote for the circuit judges. And then for each district, then in your district, you vote for your district federal judge the same way as you do state judges. Then once you get that done, then Congress can require that the federal judges once again apply a constitutional clause to your ruling. See, back in the day when the federal judges made a ruling, they had to end it by saying this decision is pursuant to U.S. constitutional clause, whatever it is, a U.S. constitutional amendment. You couldn't just write a law and shoot from the hip and do it your way the way they're doing it now. The last case was tried in 1978, Coen v. Virginia. But since that time, we haven't heard a single word about not one federal judge being called out for writing a treasonous laws. You see, they say if the federal judge's decision is not fully compliant with the U.S. Constitution, it's null, void, non-jurisdictional, trespassing, and treason. Elliott v. Pearsall, U.S. v. Will, in our resort, the last case I heard of was Coen v. Virginia in 1978. As far as I know, that was the last one. And in the meantime, these federal judges are destroying America with what they're doing. As I told you, the state of Florida, that case been done 2.5 years ago. We could have been and collected billions of dollars from the immigrants, and the ones who want to stay here righteously, they would not, you can't deport us because they're legal residents in the state of Florida. But Rick Scott and Pam Bondi, they don't know the people don't know how to do it. They don't need to know. I already won the cases. Just write their name on it. And just go to the U.S. Supreme Court. There's nothing they can do to you. I've already sent Justice Roberts' name a dossier on this thing. I'm just not going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court with it yet. I'm going to wait and see if Congress is going to be of a nature where they will have the power to do this themselves. So don't blame Obama. Don't blame the House, the Senate, or Republicans, or even the Democrats. Well, you can kind of blame the Democrats because they started with Tip O'Neill when they had the federal judges to bypass federal laws. So let me give you a few constitutional laws that stops this. Article 1, Section 9 of the United States Constitution, it says the migration or importation of such persons is what in the state now existing shall think proper to admit. It says states admit people to America. And that's the way hundreds of millions of people came to America from Europe, Italy, Russia, England, Germany, and millions of people got together with all of those different languages, and they say we're all going to speak English and become one nation under God. and they got their inventions from out of the black communities, like Granville T. Wood, Elijah McCoy, you know, the real McCoy, all that stuff. Just Google Black Inventors of America, and you see where they got their patents from. So now you got the white people and the black people done built America. All the technology belonged to us. And you got some Hispanic people now running across the border talking about they got a heritage. They don't have a heritage here. They haven't invented a thing. And their language is extremely inefficient. The one that they want us to start speaking, if you write a sentence in Spanish, say in a sentence in English, and sentence in English is going to be about 25 or 30 words. In Spanish, that same sentence could be as many as 50 words with 70 or 80 syllables. So that's inefficient. So why should we have to start doing things inefficiently? And then when you look at the U.S. Constitution and you look at the Florida Constitution, Article 2, Section 9, it clearly says under A, English is the official language of the state of Florida. B, the Florida legislators shall enforce it. Amendment 14, the state shall not make or enforce any law that abridges the freedom of prison of any citizen. So when they say you can't get a job because you're not bilingual, that's a lawsuit. It's unconstitutional. And I done told the state of Florida they can't have a line to say number one for English and 2%. They can't do that. The only way they can do that is under the Constitution, they would have to list every race of people that's here and start alphabetically. They can't focus on the Spanish nation. That's discrimination. And it's unconstitutional. They can't do that. But for now, they're getting away with it. So those are a couple of things in the Constitution. One other thing in the Constitution. Now, they told me, well, Christine, we know that Article 1, Section 9, says the state, but I'll tell you what we did. We applied the second clause. The second part of that says that the United States Congress could prohibit the states from bringing immigrants after the year 1808. But the thing that they don't understand is they're telling me that they applied that. If they applied that, technically, they outlawed all immigration and all importing in America because nothing is written in the U.S. Constitution for Congress or the President of the United States to bring anybody. So technically, everybody who's here is unconstitutional. If you came after the Democrats did all that mess what they did, if they applied their second clause. So they have to recognize that if you want this to become right, they got to go right back to Article 1, Section 9, and give the power back to the states. Let the states collect that money. Marco Rubio said it's $1,500 a year, and then that the United States was going to be getting 7 years back pay as well. And we told Marco, excuse me, Marco, and we read this Constitution to him repeatedly. He didn't pay us no attention. And another thing that people need to understand, don't blame Obama about this surge either. That's Marco Rubio. We told the Tea Parties, we told them, do not send Marco Rubio. Well, they mad with Charlie Crist, so they cut off their nose and sent Marco Rubio. He went to D.C. and told the press that he wasn't going to never speak to the Tea Party again. He went and joined Robert Menendez. This was all in the newspaper. Menendez said he told Marco to proselytize as many Republicans as possible to get this immigration thing passed, and Marco started the Gang of Eight and started to surge across the border because he paraded across America with the Time magazine telling some huge Republican savior, and he emboldened these people. That's why they've been doing it. That's why it's Marco Rubio's fault. So we need not send him back to the Senate. So these are issues. And let me go to Article 4, Section 4. That one clearly says United States is supposed to guarantee each state a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion. Why is it 12 million people here? The United States has not been protecting us from invasion. Even anchor babies. If an anchor baby doesn't have at least one American parent, that baby is an invader. He's invader species baby and can't be naturalized. You cannot naturalize invaders. You can't do it. Then let's move on now to Article 6, Section 2. That's the Supremacy Clause for the United States of America. It says, this United States Constitution and all laws of the United States, which shall be in pursuance thereof, including treaties, are the supreme law of the land, followed by every judge. So if these federal judges and other people, Sally, if they are writing laws on immigration or anything else that's not in the Constitution, it's invalid. It's counterfeit. So all of these laws that these federal judges have been writing to help immigrants, like getting them SSI and getting them entitlements and letting them come across that border and beat up the Border Patrol, that's all counterfeit. And we're going to try to overturn every bit of it in the next session if we get the Republican House and Senate. If we don't, I'm going to D.C. and I'm going to shame some Democrats. I'm going to shame some of them. I'm going to make them stop doing this stuff. Then when you go down to Amendment number of 10, that's the one that says anything not written for the United States belongs to each state respectively. That means if Oklahoma don't want immigrants, they don't want them. Or the people, if the people in Oklahoma say, well, yeah, we're going to have immigration, they voted in. So number 10 say if it's not written for the feds, it belongs to the state and the people. I hope you're sitting down. Number 11 says nothing in the judiciary of the federal government is meant to be construed to admit any claim of law, of equity, any lawsuit filed against any of the United States by citizens or subjects of foreign states. So that means the federal court can't take any case filed against Arizona, Florida, or any other state on behalf of non-citizens. And also it says if you are not a citizen of the state. Now back in an Article 3, Section 3, I think, or 2, there was a time when foreigners could sue states of the United States, but they amended that. So you see how fake all this stuff is? It is counterfeit. Everything the federal judges are doing is technically is treason, and most of them are still seated. They need to be called out and put in jail. They need to be on trial the way Senator McCarthy used to do it when they do stuff like this. Then Amendment 14 backs that up. It says to be under the jurisdiction of the United States, you must be born here or naturalized. Then it goes down to the second part and says any person, all other people who are not, say like you in the state of Florida and you were not born here or you're not naturalized here, then you under Florida law and you can only go to Florida court. You can't go to U.S. District Court. If you lose in the state court, you're done. After you exhaust all your appeals, then you need to go to another state or go home because you can't take that into U.S. District Court. The U.S. District Court is supposed to refer all those cases back to state court. They ain't even supposed to hear the case, but they've been doing it. So these are the things that are in the Constitution that protects us from what's happening to us now. Now let me explain to you what it is. Technically, the Hispanics, Latinos, Mexicans, Haitians, Jamaicans, and all them, especially the Hispanic race of people, they are trying to establish a counterfeit nation within America, speaking Spanish. Now, you remember what I told you, 100 million people coming there from Europe, and they had about 100 different doggone languages. And they all got together and said, we're going to speak English in one nation under God. Now, all of a sudden, here come the Hispanics from Latin America, Ecuador. Now they're saying, oh, well, no, we're going to speak Spanish, and we're going to be another nation. Because if you speak another language, you're another nation. Then you got the Mexican president, Enrique Peña Nieto. he got some mess out of what he said in California about Iraq. America is the other Mexico, and he's going to have to reform Mexico, America, so that they will accept diversity. He didn't say not one word about what Mexico going to do for Americans who go there. No, it's everything coming from us and La Raza and all them people. But let me tell you something. I am not going to let him get away with it. We are working hard to educate Congress on a daily basis. One person who just won the primary, Congressman Paul Spain, well, hopefully he is, he just won the primary. He came to one of our Constitution classes and stayed about 3 hours. He was just, he looked at the Constitution. He said, hey, wait a minute. They can't do that. He said, well, why are they doing it? Because people don't know any better, these federal judges. So what we're going to be doing, we're going to be having some protests in front of the U.S. District Court on Broward and Third. We're going to start bringing out these clauses and showing it to the people. We're going to have it on cards. You know how you had the protest sign? And we're going to explain to America that the federal judiciary, they have been bringing death to America with all of this stuff they're doing. That's how the World Trade Center came down. You can't blame Congress now, because the U.S. federal court, they were the ones who wrote all these laws to bring these people here and made us give them entitlements and educate them in our schools. I want every one of them federal judges thrown out of there, every one of them, and let them start all over again, get on the campaign line. And another thing that we're going to do, we're going to establish another inferior court, because Article 3, Section 1 says that Congress can establish inferior courts. We're going to establish a court to stop the appeals judges. See, they're the ones who are holding America in stagnation on these immigration issues and everything else. It's over 600 of them and only 9 Supreme Justices. So who you going to tell? They're sitting there right now holding up the state of Florida on 2 cases we did back in 2012. So what we're going to do, we're going to open a new federal court called the Appellate Review Court. It's going to be at least 3 or 4 of them in every state. So when the appeal judges do dumb stuff, you ain't got to wait for no Supreme Court that you never going to get. You got an Appellate Review Court, then their decision is going to stand the same as Supreme Court. If the federal judges, whoever they is, appeal or district, don't have a clause, their whole thing is going to be thrown out. So that's what, these are the things that we got to do to stop what's going on in America. It's a simple solution, just like it was a simple solution to stop the Latin American drug dealers, just stop them from dealing drugs out of welfare housing. We're going to stop the whole thing, maybe about 20%. You know, they get a little something across, but they don't have the millions of dope houses anymore. The same thing that goes for these immigrants. The first thing we got to do is reform the federal court, turn it into about a 6-year court, or maybe staggered 6 years for appellate, and in the next 6 years for the district court, you know what I'm saying, so they won't overlap. And then
right.
Put new judges in there that have to follow the Constitution and use that clause. If they try to shoot from the hip like they're doing now, making us pay them people and letting them come across that board on them trains, then they out of there. And 3 times, on the 3rd occasion, that a U.S. judge has a decision that doesn't have a clause, he's out of there. He's done. He's done. So these are things that we have. Second thing we have to do, once we get rid of them, we cut off all entitlements, every one of them. Do you know under the U.S. Constitution that it's treason for the federal government to give entitlements to non-citizens? That's Article 3, Section 3. It says treason is levying war against any of the United States or giving aid or comfort to any of the enemies. These people are not our friends. La Raza and them hate us. You've got another group called the Brown Berets. They're calling for genocide of the white Americans, starting with the old people. Their mantra is, you old white people, it is your duty to die. We have beaten you like rats. Go home. Give it up. We're going to take over by having babies and legislate you out of here. That's the Brown Berets, and they're backed up by Professor Gutierrez of the University of Texas and Professor Guerrero of the University of Loyola Marymount. I called both of those colleges, and I said, what do you think you're doing? You see, the groups like LaRaz and all them, they can say all the dumb stuff they want to say, but when they're supported by professors and legislators, you got so many of the legislators over out west who are supporting them, that's when it becomes genocide. That was what happened to the Jewish people in Germany. It started out with a few people saying bad stuff. Then the government joined the universities and the leaders of the government, and that's what causes genocide. And I sent a copy of this 8-page dossier talking about how they're going to take over to Congress. Immediately, the Congress, the House, stopped all immigration. They shut up. They closed every immigration committee. And they haven't said another word about it. And I don't know if they did that because of the information I sent them. I hope so, because we can no longer tolerate it. So what we're going to do, we're not going to put them out of the country. Nope. We can't do that. Under the Constitution, won't let us do it like that. No. Article 1, Section 9, it says the states are in charge of who comes. So they do have the right to ask the state, can I come here? They go to the state immigration office, and they register. If the state don't like them, then they go to the state court and say, well, the state don't like me. If the judge says, well, you're fine, I'll give you a temporary probation pass to be here. They got that one right they got. Now, so what we're going to do is, we're going to make them start paying again. See, back in the day, they had to pay registration fees and immigration fees to get their name sent to the immigration office. Once they got there, now you can't be deported. Have you noticed all the hundreds of millions of people who came to America before this, and we never had any trouble? Because they were registered with the state. They paid dues and fees. You might have had a few of them to sneak through, but most of them was honest people who wanted to come here and build a new land, and they did that, and they wanted to be honest with it. Now you've got the Democrats that started this mess, and 40 years later, now you've got the Mexican president and Excelsior newspaper and all them telling us how they're taking over America without firing a shot. Well, we're not going to fire no shot either, and we're not going to bust their heads. We're going to bust their bellies. We're going to cut off food stamps, send them to the state that they're registered in. Ain't going to be no more federal health care, no SSI, no everything is going to be stopped on the federal level. You can't do it. It's Article 3, Section 3. That's treason for the United States to do that. Now, they don't have to leave the country, but just register with the state is $1,500. We got about 2 million of them. Salary, I think that's up into the billions of dollars there. Then if the state wants to, they could do like Marco Rubio said and collect at least 7 years back pay. I bet you they won't be running across that border then. See, they already know this. They remember when they came to America as migrants and they had to register with the state and it was a C. And when they went home, when it was done, they left America. They didn't want to stay here. They said America was boring. And now all of a sudden that these federal judges have written all these laws to help them be here getting paid, now all of a sudden they got a heritage here. They ain't got nothing here. They're all invaders. The federal court couldn't do that. That don't make them a citizen just because the federal court wrote it up that way. If it's not in pursuance with the Constitution, their citizenship is counterfeit. Every one of them.
I got to ask you. I got to ask you this one this question, because this is something that has me so annoyed, too. I mean, we have a racist, that's all we got to say is the government itself is what's racist by playing these games. What are we going to do? It's totally outrageous that we have a congressional Hispanic caucus, a congressional Tea Party caucus, a congressional, I believe it's black or African caucus. I mean, what is the deal with all these congressional caucuses for all these individual groups?
Well, once we reform the federal courts and we go back to America in the first place, technically, do you know what we have to do first? After we close the reform the court, and stop all the entitlements, then we have to invalidate about 30 million citizenships of the Hispanics. Their citizenship isn't what the paper's written on. They got to go back and reapply for citizenship. Don't worry about little minor stuff like that. They're not even citizens under the Constitution. I was just fixing to tell you what happened in the Dominican Republic. The same thing that's going on here, where the Dominican Supreme Court, along with their legislators, the legislators said that the Haitians weren't really citizens because they invaded the land or whatever they did, and they never were citizens. And so all the Haitians that were born there, they retroactively stopped citizenship to 1929, almost a million Haitians. Guess what? The guy who wrote that story in the Sun Sentinel, he said the same thing can happen here to the Cubans because they came to America the same way. And I'm telling you, Sally, I've been studying the Constitution for 40 years. Every one of them, if you were not here on a student visa from not a for-profit, but from a regular college, because, see, they have autonomy. If you came here on a student visa and you got citizenship, that's fine. Or if you were on a visiting visa, that's fine. But if you walked across that border and you just hung around until the federal court wrote up a bunch of unconstitutional laws, you can't be naturalized. If they did it, then it's invalid. It's like a counterfeit $100 bill. Your citizenship is invalid, and we're going to get to these points. It just takes time. You have to do it in baby steps. It took me 25 years to stop welfare drug selling. I have been working on this immigration issue since 1997 when Newt Gingrich was there. It's in a book that I wrote with me and Congressman Dick Chrysler. So I've been working on this now about 20 years. So it's about the time now that all these things are going to come to pass, and they're not going to like it when the entitlements get shut off. They ain't going to like it. Now, they can still get entitlements, but it have to come from the state. And usually back in the day, when it came around to them, they only got vouchers for the rent and vouchers for food orders to the nearest grocery store to them, the nearest A&P, and clothing orders. They ain't going to want to go back to that. They remember those days. You think they're going to surge across the border, you're going to see them going home. And when they find out that their anchor babies are not really citizens, all of these things got to come out. Even the Bible tell you about the 50 years when these kind of things will be done and it will be rectified. Back in the day when the Democrats first started this stuff, the Republicans and everybody else was saying that this was the Democrats' 50-year plan to destroy America. They started out bringing the Mexicans here, and they drugged up all the industrial states and destroyed that and moved the industry down to Mexico. And that's when they were saying that stuff about it's their 50-year plan. But, Sally, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. People are getting tired of that. People are getting tired. The people in the Democrat Party, Republicans, Libertarians, everybody's tired, especially since the Mexican president is now telling him he got to reform America, and they've never done anything. He's just a slovenly president. He wants to turn our nation into some Hispanic drug-selling nation like his land, and we don't want that done. And he has not said one word about what Mexico is going to do for Americans that want to come there. Ain't said nothing. Everything, he putting all the burden on Americans, and we're tired of this. We are tired of it. And we're tired of La Raza and everybody else, and they will be very, very upset when they find out that their citizenship isn't even valid. Sally, it's not valid. And I'm going to
What about Marco Rubio's citizenship?
Everything is invalid. They can't even hold office. Everyone, they're going to have to give up office. I done told the Republicans, instead of trying to worry about getting their vote, when you get the House and Senate, invalidate their citizenship. You can't do citizenship like that. You got the Broward SOE, the Secretary of State of Election, to all Democrats. They be taking people off the street. They can't even speak English. And getting the federal judges to naturalize them. You can't do it like that. If you do it that way, it's invalid. So I'd like for everybody in America to go to my website, Dr. Talbert and Christine Timmer website. It's www.C as in cat, F as in Frank, A as in apple, B as in boy, America, and read all this stuff. Read about what we said on August the 10th, the way you stop the surge across the border and protect the border is you don't need a fence. You don't need the police. Even if you had an arsenic fence with radiation around it and some bad dogs, the reason they come here is because the federal judges put billions of dollars on the border when they wrote laws to tell them if they just get across the border, eventually they'll be eligible for that debit card with that first $5,000 to $10,000 in it. And then the U.S. Department, the U.S. Customs Office also is authorized to give temporary grants to illegals. You know, Sally, I find out everything. I called the I said, what are you talking about? Well, ma'am, we have to do this. We have to give this. Well, I was so mad. I said, well, good grief. America is going to hell in a handbasket with this mess. They got the Customs Department giving them grants. And this, Sally, has got to stop. And so I'm urging everybody to call whoever their congressperson is and tell them that they heard the show tonight and that they are now aware that the citizenship of the Hispanic people, Latinos, Mexicans, Haitian, Jamaicans, all that stuff is invalid because you can't make people citizens who are invaders. They're all invaders. Even if the federal government brought up Article 4, Section 4, say the federal government got to protect you from invasion, not bring them. Everything they do got to be in pursuance of the Constitution. You won't find not one immigration law in the U.S. Constitution because the federal judges made them up or Congress made them up, and the federal judges said, yeah, go ahead and do it. What they're doing now, Sally, they're using Article 1, Section 8, the naturalizing clause, as an excuse. But the reason you can't do that is, and Justice Roberts and Kennedy, they explained it. They had a unanimous decision from the U.S. Supreme Court in 2011. And as you know, the Supreme Justices don't even breathe at the same time. But they rule that every time the United States does anything, it has to have a clause or be written. Well, when you read the naturalizing clause, it just says Congress shall have the power to establish a uniform naturalization rule. It don't say import and immigrate. That's in Article 1, Section 9 for the states. So technically, they can't use that clause. That's fraud if they do that. Another one that they're using is the Commerce Clause under trade policy. Well, you can't do that either because that clause does not say immigrants and it does not say import and it does not have the word people in there. Like they just told Obama, he had to make his health care a tax code. The Commerce Clause didn't have the word people, and there's nothing written in the Constitution that makes anyone buy insurance. So if they use a trade policy, technically that would mean that they are human trafficking because they would be turning people into a product. They can't use that clause. Then they say sovereign nation. Same story. They can't use sovereign because when it's sovereign, you only deal with the leaders of the tribe, state, or nation, not the people. So they can't use none of that. But that's what they're holding the state of Florida up with. We could have been had this thing all straightened out in Florida. We could have been stopped them from this bilingual stuff because the state of Florida Constitution don't allow it either. But they're doing it because the federal courts, again, wrote up some for the U.S. Department of Justice to say that we got to speak their language. All this stuff can be alleviated just as simple. Use Article 3, Section 1, 2, and 3, and just send the federal judges home. Get a new federal court. Elect them yourself. Open an appellate review court to stop the appeals court from holding the country up forever. Cases will move right on through. Thousands of jobs will be opened up in the federal court. For attorneys or whoever qualified, like law professors, would be qualified to run for U.S. District Appellate or district court, either one of those two. Then all the jobs that would bring with it, and then the freedom. We would have our freedom again. Anybody can just walk up in the U.S. District Court. If a city or a government do something to you, all you got to do is read the Constitution, and if it say you can't do that and they do it, sue them. They call it 42 U.S.C. 1983. That's when a government violates any constitutional right, and that's why I'm telling the state of Florida they better be careful with the alimony law, because under the Florida Constitution, Article 10, Section 5, believe it or not, you can't do alimony in Florida. It's prohibitive. That clause for Florida says there shall be no distinction between a married woman and a married man in the holding, control, distribution, or encumbrance of their property, both real and personal, except that dower or courtesy may be established and regulated by law. That means, courtesy means when the man's wife died, and dower means when the woman's husband died. And then you only get one-third until probate is over. So you can't do alimony because they say you can't make a distinction between the spouses. So giving permanent, even two-hour alimony, you're supposed to divide it down the middle. That's the way the Florida Constitution is written. The reason that they're doing it this way now, the American Bar Association and all the state and county bars go and lobby legislators to ignore that, or most of them don't even know it's there. And they take these payoffs from the divorce lobby to write laws to let them go into a man's account. See, people don't even understand. All a woman has to do is sign a paper saying, I can't reconcile, and she turn in all of her husband's account numbers and stuff. That attorney can technically go into the judge's chambers on that day, even though the man ain't did nothing, and they can freeze his account, and they transfer it all over to the county court account. The attorney walks out with one-third of it, and the man don't even know they've been in his account. He go home, and there's a process server waiting there telling him that he got 1 hour to get his stuff out and get on the bridge. He got to leave the car, too. And that's what made men snap after Rick Scott beat up the alimony bill that made it more equal. It wasn't the same as what the Constitution said, but it was more equal. And then the attorneys started attacking the husband, and they wrote ads in the paper telling women to divorce your husband now so you can get paid now, because next time you might not be this lucky. So a lot of women listen to that, and men coming home thinking they finna go to bed, and some man there throwing them out, and they got to leave the car. A lot of men snap and kill their family right after Rick Scott did that. And the thing about this is, he was told by the Women's Alimony Forum Group, Second Wives Club, there were scores of women. We went in there to ask him to please stop this stuff. We need equal alimony. And one reason a lot of women want it is because if your boyfriend is divorced, you can't marry him. If you marry a divorced man, his ex-wife can go to court and modify her amount, tell the court, well, oh, his new wife makes $150,000 a year, so I think I should get at least $30,000 a year raise. This is what goes on, and most people don't even know this. So that is why it's important for us to sit down and start reading our Constitution and seeing what our rights are on all levels. But the most important thing is we got to recognize that we're not going to have a nation if we can't get this done in 2015 until the next presidential election. If we get the Republicans in the lead, we should have all of this done. We should have the courts reformed. It don't take but 15 minutes to do it. Just a simple up or down vote. You already got the building. Just send them to the election land and then give them their rules. From now on, you use the clause or your ruling don't stand. And all federal immigration laws are gone. You got to go back to the real thing. That's when you start cutting off all of the entitlements. That's when they're going to stop coming to America. Oh, they're going to be mad. We may have to get the U.S. Marshals on the street, because we may have to go to martial law, because they're going to get mad when they can't get that money, because, see, they think they're entitled to it, and they don't understand. They're not entitled. You have to be a citizen. Right. So I know I've said a lot. Anybody
well,
who wants to sell
we've got a caller up. We've got a caller out there.
Okay. Let's listen to a caller.
I believe it's Nathan out there.
Yes, it is, Sally. Now, first I want to say, Christina, I'm glad you're taking this alimony issue. And the reason is a lot of people have been asleep to, even if this stuff doesn't affect them, they're asleep to what this has done to our country. In the 70s, there was a purposed policy being promoted through the media and to people that if you're not happy with your spouse, it's best for your kids to separate. Whether they had no proof, no background information or studies to prove that. But when these men started leaving their wives, and their wives didn't have college, most of them just finished high school at the most, they were married to their husband and their children in their home, and then all of a sudden they dropped off into poverty, and then we had the activists started trying to fight for them, and by the time they put the laws in place for alimony and child support, that this little boy, his daddy was an old man, and he's a young man now, and whenever he, because his dad wasn't there, he's living with the policy that was meant for his dad, and then he doesn't know what a man is, and he gets in a relationship and he struggles, and when it doesn't work out, the government would just completely crush this guy, and now we got the lawyers and the activists are going in the other direction, going we only take women clients, and now we're only taking men clients. You know, and the government needs to get out of the family business. They need to quit trying to orchestrate what the family looks like. I appreciate you taking this issue on. Now, you were saying earlier on the people coming across the border. I don't know if you noticed this, and I can introduce you to some people that can educate you on it. But NAFTA, which is a Republican policy that was given to us by. And I ain't going to blame the Republicans. I'm going to blame it on the Heritage Foundation that gave them the Newt Gingrich early 94 victory to them, because they came up with the NAFTA, which they were being funded. Heritage Foundation was being funded by China. I'm sure that there's how they got this. But in Mexico, NAFTA in Mexico will not give jobs to the men. The men are running across the border. So NAFTA is tearing up the family in Mexico. I blame Newt Gingrich for that. You know, he takes victory for that. He takes victory. Now, here's something else you were saying about the welfare thing. You know, in 1986, they had the CDL, Commercial Driver's License Act of 1986. It said, like you rightfully said, to drive a truck, to get a CDL license, you have to be able to speak and communicate English at an eighth grade level minimum, okay? We got people driving down the road right now that, you know, they have to get somebody to explain to you what it is they're trying to say because they're driving down the road with a CDL and can't speak English, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that going back, we need to get back to the Constitution on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that the CDL Act of 1986 did, it got rid of all those people riding down the road doing speed, trying to drive for 2 days without sleep, got drug testing going, and then here's where I have a problem with Newt Gingrich. His welfare to work in the 90s, what
I
that did is it put
like
it put a lot of people back to work, thank God for that, but it also put a lot of people in the workplace that knows how to pass a drug test.
Well,
you know,
technically, well, the truth is Newt Gingrich didn't really write that. I wrote most of that stuff.
Did you?
Because I had, yes, I did. I had to live with it for 25 years, and I was sick and tired of seeing drug dealers and all of this type of dirty stuff and prostitution going on in welfare houses, and I told them one of these days I'm going to have the Congress to write up stuff to stop you guys from doing all this stuff. That's why you notice. When the last time you heard of a drug cartel? So it's been 20 years. Because once I stopped the welfare drug dealing, they didn't have any more houses. So I can't give, you can't blame Newt for all that because they listen to me every
yeah,
drug
well, no, I'm not against the policy. I'm not against the policy. What I'm against is this stuff practically on the ground never got enforced? Because, you know,
well,
thank God
the
for the people.
The reason that happened was because of Abramson. When Abramson got in all that trouble, Republicans lost the lead in the Senate. Once you got a split house, now you can't do nothing. So what we're trying to do is get another full house. If I get me a full house, we're looking at a whole lot of stuff going to change in America, because after I informed the Republican House that this Brown Berets group has got a genocide wish on the white community, I sent that a dossier to about 15 or 20 of them. They closed down all immigration committees and stopped doing it. I think they're investigating right now. They're trying to figure out a way to overturn the Arizona laws, and I have told them already how the solution to all of these problems, and insofar as NAFTA, that's trade policy. Under the Constitution, they can do that. The part that's worrying us for real is what the federal judges have written. You've got to understand, not one word of any immigration law is in the Constitution. It was all made up by the federal judges. And the way they did it was the Democrats ran Congress and the House until 1994 for 40 years. They wrote every one of the welfare laws. All of the immigration laws. When the Republicans came in, they didn't have time. They was doing welfare reform, and they started doing immigration, but they lost the lead in the Senate. And I've still been working on it. I went to college 9 years to study this. And I'm telling you right now, I want you to go on my website so you can read about it, www.C as in cat, F as in Frank, A as in apple, B as in boy, America. So the laws that are written, Republicans might not like it, but they still got to do it because everybody got to follow law. What you have to do is change the law. So we got an opportunity coming up to change everything, and I want every citizen. There's about 30 million citizenships that have got to be invalidated. The citizenship of the Hispanics, Latinos, Mexicans, Haitian, Jamaicans, all that is all counterfeit. And you notice they ain't brought no white people over here from Europe. They always concentrate on bringing a bunch of black people here from Haiti and Jamaica with all these diseases and all these Hispanics and folks from Ecuador. You don't know what kind of disease they got, and bringing them all here, but so they discriminating against the Europeans, none of them, and I don't particularly care for it because it's the white people that work with the black people to build America. The Hispanics and the Haitian Jamaicans, they never did anything in America. We don't owe them nothing. So you can look forward to seeing a lot of rumbling going on. If the Republicans get the Senate and the House, I'm going to be there raising so much sand. Whoa. I'm already raising sand.
Okay, Christine.
Okay,
mm-hmm. Let me say I celebrate with you that the Republicans won a majority in 1994, but I also got to remind them they did not do one thing they promised in the contract with America other than they brought – all of them up for a vote. They had more R's than D's, and they brought them up before a vote on day 97, before 100. But they did not do one thing in the contract with America. They made a pledge to America in 2010 that they forgot about, and we haven't heard them talking about. And now they're talking about a pledge for 2014. But let me remind you on the contract with America, the very first promise. Of the contract with America said we will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does, and they didn't have enough R. So I'm going to tell you, and I've been following your campaign, support you any way I can, but I'm going to tell you what, the Republican Party, no Republican will ever get a vote from me or anybody they would endorse, because if I see somebody that is a good man or a good woman when they join with the Republicans, the chances of them being able to be effective is so slim, they'll be so corrupted, or they'll struggle through with their conscience and get out and go home. But the Republican Party, there's more on the NAFTA, on the immigration, you'll find more Republican governors with amnesty cities in America than you will. You will have to search hard to find a Democrat governor.
I'm trying to get you to understand. Republicans only had the lead one time. All of the laws that are written were written by the federal judges.
Yes, I know, and the Republicans keep
Those laws. They have to follow the law. The only time if they get to leave and they don't do what I tell them to fix it, then that's another story. Like when they did the welfare reform, all I wanted them to do was stop the drug dealers from tearing up America, and they did that. The rest of that little itty bitty stuff, I don't care about that. They got the black people off of drugs, and they working now. Most of our 80% of the drugs have quit in this country. You don't hear the Wall Street Journal writing up Noriega names like they used to do on the front page. We stopped all of that. Now, that was a very important issue, and they did start to work on immigration, but they lost the lead in the Senate. And so now they got to follow the same thing everybody else followed. They can say anything they want to say in 2010, but in 2010 they didn't have no lead. So that's just a whole lot of
talk. But I don't want them to say the right things when it's election time. I want to hear what they really believe, because if they tell me what they don't believe, then they're lying to me. We can't
have
a disagreement.
No.
I said if they...
In order for your talk to be anything, you got to have the lead in both houses.
No, we don't need to have a lead on with one party over another one. What we have to do is remember there is no political parties in the Constitution. There is no electoral college that ministers and serves only the Democrat and Republican Party. Let me tell you something else about the Republican Party. From the Great Depression up till now, they have never, ever been for a smaller budget or smaller government other than the period that Ronald Reagan was in. You can't go back from the Great Depression till now and show me when they proposed a smaller budget than what they were working with.
Republicans didn't lead nothing for 40 years.
It doesn't matter about leading. They got to get up there and they have to live by what they say they believe.
That's who makes the laws. You can believe what you want, but if you can't make your belief a law, it don't mean nothing. For 40 years, Tip O'Neill and the Democrats ran America. They're responsible for everything that we're in now. Republicans got in there for 2 years, and that's all they had. Even when Reagan then was there,
they didn't do what they promised when they did win.
They wasn't there long enough to finish all this.
Well, but they didn't even try. They didn't even do what they promised.
They did what I wanted them to do. I wanted them to stop welfare. They didn't do that. I wrote all those laws. They were too busy doing what I told them. And then they had to take Rick Scott out from stealing all the money from Medicare. So they had a lot more things to do.
If you're going to try to save the Republican Party, I'm out of it because I'm not a Republican.
I'm not trying to save no Republican Party. I'm trying to save America. And I don't care who can stop this counterfeit America stuff that the president of Mexico and Excelsior newspaper is saying that the United States is the other Mexico, and the president is saying that he has to reform America and make them do diversity for his people. And the only way
the only reason he can say that is we got people like Rick Scott that will let Mexicans coming across the border illegally, without the legal, let them have in-state
you
tuition.
You are not listening. Yes, I am listening.
Listen, please hear me.
It's the federal courts who are doing that. The federal courts wrote all these laws.
It was not the federal court. It was not.
Oh, yes, it is.
Listen, please hear me.
For 20 years, I've been to school for this, and I know who's doing it.
Okay, listen.
It's the federal court. What they're supposed to do when any federal person in the Congress or the president write a law, if it's not in the Constitution, the federal court's supposed to stop them. Instead of the federal court stopping them, they're writing the laws and letting it happen. The federal court is the one who letting all this stuff happen. That's why we got to reform the federal court and throw them out. Then we stop all this stuff. Until then, you got to understand, sir, Justice Stephen J. Markman told you that the federal court is the ones who run America right now. It's not really Congress, and it's not the president, because they're supposed to stop them. They haven't did that since 1978 under Cohen v. Virginia. Do you know that the Constitution of the United States does not allow the federal courts to do anything for non-citizens, but they've been writing laws and letting them be wrote mostly by the Democrat Party that give these people money and stops the state police from doing their job. That's not Rick Scott. Now, he done did a lot of other dumb stuff,
okay. But
this is not his fault, because he got to follow the law like everybody else. He can't stop them because the federal court is doing it. Now, I can stop them. I got two rulings right here in the Florida court in Broward County, Judge Demetrius Snow and Scolari. You can read it online. They told me, Christine, you are correct, that it's supposed to be the state of Florida, but appellate judge McClellan, he holding up the state of Florida. It's the federal court. And until people get this in their head, then we're not. I got it in my head. That's all it takes is me, because I've been asserting this now since when I went to elementary school. And I know I got Supreme Justice Markman of Michigan. He went to D.C. in 2010, and he told them, you guys are going to have to reform the federal court because they have taken over America. This is a judicial government now. You just don't know that. So once we stop the federal court, then all this stuff you're saying, then we will have a hope to it.
Can I say something? Can I say something, Sally?
It was not
a court that signed in a law that illegals from Mexico could get free. You need to stop right there.
If the federal government did that, the court is supposed to not let that law go through. That's you don't know enough about.
I'm not talking about court. See, you want to fix the court.
If anybody in Congress writes such a law that's not in the Constitution, the federal judiciary
You never even let me finish what I started.
Let that go through. Then they're wrong. The federal court is the one who behind all of this.
I agree with everything you said about the court. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. What I'm saying is the Republican Party, the Republicans are not the good guys in this thing. Let me finish, please. Please, ma'am, I listen to what you have to say. Will you please let me say what I want to say? You can disagree with me after I complete it, okay? It was Rick Scott, the Texas president.
Rick Perry
signed a bill saying that it is that illegals in the state of Texas can go to school with in-state as if they're citizens paying taxes. They're going to go to school on in-state tuition prices, while we got veterans that's been overseas for a year or two, and they come back and they got to pay out-of-state taxes to go to college. Okay, it was Rick Perry that did that, and then it was the people that was giving them the money, the taxpayers giving them the money, because they don't have any money to pay these in-state tuitions, and it was Vicente Fox that endorsed him when he ran for president. Ma'am, I agree with you 100%. Our courts are screwed up, but you know what? The Republican Party is right there. The Republican Party is the one that gave us Common Core. The Republican Party is about immigration reform right now, and it means amnesty, because it was the Republicans that gave us NAFTA, that gave our economy and our sovereignty to our third world country enemies. So I agree with you on the courts, but I'm going to tell you, if you cannot jump on the back of the Republicans, I'm not going to have nothing to do with your campaign.
Like I'm trying to tell you, my campaign is not about either one. I'm NPA. But let me tell you, I know exactly what you're saying, what Rick Perry did. And you know why he did it? And that's why Rick Scott and them did it. There is a federal law.
And that's why, and they got inspired by Newt Gingrich.
They got inspired by Newt Gingrich's policy. That is a federal law.
Senator Palin's got two sanctuary cities. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the courts. But you know what? The courts are the ones that are enforcing their policies. And we got to start calling these Republicans out. You got to start calling the Republicans out and quit shining them up to comparing them to how evil the Democrats are.
That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. The thing that Rick Perry did is the law that the federal courts wrote that you got to give illegals the same thing as Americans. So he's not wrong. He's following the darn law.
No, but they don't belong here. They're not here legally.
Once we get rid of the federal judges, our new courts, then I will listen to what you're saying.
Rick Perry made an oath to the Constitution, the state and the federal Constitution. He did not make an oath to the courts. And when if you run a red light, the cop don't remember that you're his friend. He remembers he's made an oath to enforce the law. And we got to give up the politics and start doing what's right. Rick Perry and Sarah Palin and Mitt Romney and all the rest of these people.
Why does he have the National Guard on the border right now, then?
How long did it take him to get the National Guard on the border? Let's give him some brownie points because he's running for president.
He's not running. I didn't know he was running for president.
He's out there sporting votes.
Well, you know, like I said, I've been doing this now since the 50s, and I've been researching the Constitution, and I know what you're saying about NAFTA, but they have the Constitution, the right to do that under trade policy.
They made an oath to the Constitution. You mentioned Article 6.
Brought the Mexicans up to the industrial states and brought dope into America, and 3 years later, all of the industrialism was moved to Mexico after they drugged Detroit, Akron, Pennsylvania, all over Michigan. They drugged all of the states and the cities where the plants were. The black people started fighting and selling drugs. In the meantime, the unions were given more power than they needed, so the companies had to leave. They left up out of here, and they moved their stuff down to Mexico.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you just say that they had the right to do the NAFTA?
They got on the trade files, they can do pretty much anything they want.
Whatever happened to Article 6?
Well, if they did it against Article 6, it's different.
They can't make any policies that contradict the authority.
Is immigration the way they're doing it now? That's what's destroying America right now. We almost don't have an America. They have established a counterfeit nation within America. And in about 20 years, we almost not America right now. And that's what I'm trying to fight against. And I don't care who do it, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, whoever it is, they need to stop this treasonous. These people coming here establishing another country within America, and I don't care who do it. It's counterfeit. I don't think this Mexican president, he does not have a right to say that we have to follow his deal. Now, if he wants to apply for statehood, but he's not going to try to apply for statehood. He say he's going to take over America, and the only way he can do that is with the help of the federal court.
Let me tell you how he can do it. Okay, I agree with you with the courts, but can I tell you how he can do it? Can I please tell you how he can do it?
It doesn't mean a thing.
Let me tell you how he can do it.
Okay.
He can't.
Okay.
No,
well, Christine, let's hear what they
can do it.
He may not legally be able to do it, but what do you think is going on?
The only reason he believes in his mind he can take America over is because we have governors all across this country. Most of them are Republicans that have sanctuary cities where these people come to them. You start with your Reverend Huckabee. As governor, he's got sanctuary cities with these illegals there, and he's giving them all the goodies. Sarah Palin, I can send you a list of all the states that are sanctuary cities, and you'll have to look real hard to find a Democrat. That is a Republican policy. It's not a North American Union policy. A NAFTA comes from the Republicans, so let's quit blaming the Democrats. I agree with you. The Democrats are evil, but you know what? They're no better than the Republicans because the two parties complement each other's policies.
Like I said, neither one of them could do it without a federal law that allows it.
Then let's quit talking about. Then let's quit talking about. Then let's quit talking about getting organized and trying to get more numbers than the other side.
Nobody can do anything without the approval of the federal court, and they got all of these laws out here making.
You just said, ma'am. You just quoted earlier about who the authority of the Congress, the courts are under. It's the Congress that can call them onto the carpet.
It
can call them onto the carpet.
Trying to get Congress to take the power back.
That's the way you take the power back is vote them out and put new people in.
Yeah, you got to vote out the federal judges first.
You're saying that the courts have the higher authority.
Yes.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, guys. I think we're all right on this in the sense that the courts keep letting the games are going on at different levels. The courts are over abusing their authority. The Congress isn't applying its authority like it's supposed to. And when it comes to the two parties, there is truly no difference. There's because, just like with the Charlie Christrew thing, he was a Democrat, then he was a Republican, then he's a Democrat. They run for whatever they think they can get elected. It has nothing to do with what they believe in. So they're all crooked in that respect.
But we can't try to save Congress so we can win. Beat the court back. We got to get rid of all of them. And the way you get rid of a judge is put a congressman in there that will do his job. We can't. This Congress has the most authority. Congress is the one they stand on the carpet in front of. Okay, they're the ones that can decide that if a judge needs to stay or go. But like you said, you know, this is the thing. If a woman is being beat by her husband, she needs to get up and walk out. But if she gets beat a second time and then she spends a whole lifetime being beat, you know what? It's hard to try to wrestle with these two people to determine who has the most authority here. You can't tell her she has any authority. She's already given it to them. We can't say that the courts have the power. We got to get rid of the courts. What we got to say is the authority is the Constitution, and the Congress ain't doing their job. Courts ain't doing their job. So let's just get rid of everybody that's up for election. And if we can't elect a judge out, then we'll elect the politicians in there that will call them onto the carpet and say you're not behaving right. Now get out of here.
You can't do that unless you have both houses.
See, right here is the problem.
That's what I'm trying to
okay,
now.
Listen. There's the
problem.
No. You're talking two-party system. Two-party system.
Sorry,
you got to have.
That's the way it is. I can't do it any
other
way.
But you see, this is not the way it's supposed to be. What we got to quit thinking about
is
in teams.
That's why
we got.
I'm
we can't see. This is the whole thing. As long as you're going
to
be thinking about, we got to get more Republicans in order to get something done. The Republicans have had more numbers and never did what they promised.
The federal government back from the judiciary. Congress has got to do that. But every time that they have a split house, they won't do nothing at all.
But you see, listen, please hear this. Please hear this. If you don't hear any, if you listen to this one little insight, I'll hang up and never call you again. Just please hear it so you can think about it. There is no teams or groups in the Constitution. There's only members. That means when you run for office, you don't run because you're a part of a group. You run as an individual, your members. There is no parties or groups or teams anywhere implied in the Constitution, and there is no electoral college that. And the two parties are the only ones that are served by the Electoral College. So they are government institutions. And what we gotta do is we gotta have. And I'm only voting for citizens. I'm not voting for some guy because of his party. And I will never ever vote for a Republican.
Did you see how I took Rick Scott down this week?
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you get the Republicans on your side. They're gonna tell you don't be bugging him. If you get the Democrats on your side, then they'll get behind you and fund you.
It's not bull crap. Bull crap. They're the ones who didn't help me before. That's how I got all the welfare reform.
Well, you know what?
Done.
What we need to do is we need to quit. We need to quit trying to win as team members, as a part of a team, because the team ain't representing everybody. They're representing a handful at the top. What we need to do is start being individual members, voting our individual conscience, and rather than trying to get this group to get more numbers than that group, because you know what? How many elections with the two teams fighting each other, how many elections have we been promised stuff every election that never happened?
Well,
every election that never happened. So you know what? It ain't working, and we don't have that many millions of years to turn it around.
I got all of my stuff done. I ran Michigan politics for 15 years. They did everything my way. And when you saw all that stuff happening in Ohio, Illinois, I wrote every bit of it. I wrote all of the welfare reform laws. I wrote all of the right to work laws. If you see it, if you don't like it, I probably wrote it all, every bit of it. And who helped me to write it? The Republicans. And I'm telling them.
You know what? They used it. They used it to get. They used it to win an election. They won an election. And anything they did, they didn't do with their whole heart. And most of it, they didn't.
If you've noticed, I haven't really said anything bad about the Democrats, but you have been blasting the Republicans.
Well, there's nothing you can say. Well, you know, let me say it this way. I would never vote for a Democrat. Never, never, because they're socialists. But the problem with the Republicans is they are socialists, but they have us on a bus. Because I was a Republican from 1978 to 2004, and I noticed a pattern. Every election is a new the same promise that never gets done, but it comes back up in the next it comes back up. And guess what? I'm not the only one, because right now the Republicans are in a minority, and they're trying to steal Democrats and Libertarians. Because they can't get the people that switch to independent ain't going to vote.
A huge lead in the House, so don't say that they're not in any minority.
We got 100 people. We got 100 people in the Senate. Okay, now I don't want to debate the issue. Okay, but in November of last year, Marco Rubio with the rest of the Senate voted 100% to. I'll confirm a gay activist judge who will probably be the next Supreme Court appointee, okay?
Well, you know what?
Okay, let me finish. Please let me finish. Let me finish. Okay, but listen, let me finish. The Congress votes, and the Senate votes 100% to confirm this gay activist judge, but in January, late January, early February, Marco Rubio is speaking out against another judge confirmation. Because this judge is a homosexual, and you know why? It's an election year, and it's family values, and we got to be for traditional marriage on the polls and in our speeches during election year. But so right there is the Republican Party.
You haven't heard.
Okay, it ain't got nothing to do. The Republican Party is Democrat. The Democrats with a Republican or a conservative on their sleeve.
You know what? You are too obsessed You are obsessed with parties. That's all you've been talking
about.
Yeah,
but that's all we got. We keep being – well, what do we keep hearing? We got to save the Republicans. The only thing the Republicans can run on right now is what the Democrats have done. They can't run on what they've done because they haven't done anything they promised.
Okay.
Why are you worried so much about the Republicans?
Okay.
Why are you so worried about the Republicans? Don't worry about it.
Because the Republicans are splitting the vote. They're splitting the independent vote. They're causing people to stay home.
You're making me feel sorry for you now because you're so far off the issue with your Republican hatred stuff.
But I'm not going. But we can't save it with teams, Christine.
I'm kind of tired of hearing you talk not just about Republicans. I'm sick of hearing about the Republicans. I want to talk about saving this country. I don't want to talk about this bad Republican, that bad.
Well, anytime, listen, Christine, I'm
going
to tell you, anytime anybody starts talking about we got to get a majority over to the other side to get more numbers, I'm out of it.
You don't have not one constitutional solution for nothing that you're saying.
I just gave you a solution, ma'am. I just gave you a solution. There is no parties.
Okay.
There's no teams, no groups. You want me to go to the polls as a part of a group. I'm not a part of a group.
That's
I'm an individual that stands by myself. Ma'am,
that's
I have stood by myself whenever the party has
okay.
lied to me and never gave me anything
Mason,
other than in the next
are,
election
Mason,
we need
I
your vote.
Feel sorry for you
okay.
Because
okay.
You've lost it.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That's how they lost me.
Mason, you lost it.
I'm gonna kind of summarize where Nathan and I share a lot of feelings in reference to the frustration we have with the Republican Party. With mm-hmm. me, I understand the it's a stupid game we've got going, and I am out there. I am doing the George Washington thing, no party affiliate. I am so personally, I understand where Nathan's coming from, that it's time we started being Americans instead of these two parties. But
right.
I also understand what you're saying, Christine, about it's a game that we have to have these two houses. And I'm sick of, I'm sick of hearing that too, even though I know there's a certain reality to the garbage of that piece. But I am not going to vote for any party. If I had to vote for either Charlotte Smith or Rick Scott, I wouldn't vote for either of them. I would skip voting because I cannot stand either one of them, that's locally. So I think that's where this is all coming down to.
I kind of feel sorry for Nathan, though, because he's so obsessed with the Republicans. Forget them. God's thinking outside the box, and he said a lot of things. However, see, when you're dealing with me, see, I have to go to court. And when I go to U.S. District Court, I can't be rattling off and talking outside. I have to give constitutional clauses, and I have to give federal statutes to back me up. That's why I always win. And see, Nathan did a whole lot of talking, but nothing he said, he couldn't go to court and win nothing with that.
I'm not interested in winning. I'm not interested in winning. What I'm interested in doing is standing by my conviction, and I can't buy. We got to vote for this group because they're the only ones that can win. When they don't win, they don't do what they say.
Nathan, you're not giving me any solutions. Everybody got this.
The solution I just told you. You said the solution. You said the solution is the Constitution.
I went in U.S. District Court. I beat them down to the ground because I quote the clauses that stop them.
Look at where we're at right now.
$80 million. How much do they owe you? Nothing. I've beaten them so many times. They keep getting immunity, and eventually some attorneys are going to overturn that. So when I speak about what I can win in court with. Yeah, I'm mad about a whole lot of stuff, but I can't go to court with that just because I'm mad about it. If I can't show the court what the constitutional clause that it is or the federal
I just showed you, ma'am, on NAFTA, I just reminded you of Article 6.
You should have went to U.S. District Court then. You should have went there and sued them like I did instead of sitting up here running your mouth about it, and you did not go to court. And you don't need a law degree to go to court. You just walk up in court and you file 42 U.S.C. 1983, and you say, I believe that the government on this
matter. Well, let me ask you, Christine.
I don't want to talk about it. If you didn't go to court like I did, you think it's easy to go to U.S. District Court and stand before those judges and you don't even have a degree and I won $80 million worth? See, you talk a whole lot of stuff.
Everything that you did, Chris, work up to this point?
Yes, worked for me. It's worked for me. It's working for me. These things go in stages. It took me 25 years to stop the black people from generational welfare. But I was the person who was sitting with the Congress in 1995. I sat at the congressional table in front of all the black leaders.
Christine, I'm glad you did that. But you know what?
You have to know how to go before these people, not running your mouth and complaining. You have to have laws, and I did it. If you ain't mad enough to get up and stand before a judge and say these things, then you saying to me is worthless.
Okay, listen.
That was wrong.
What you
did and I would help you do it. But if you're
okay.
not intending on going to court with, why are you telling me? Ain't nothing I can do about it unless you ready to go in the U.S. District Court and take them down. Because
well,
I do it all
well,
the time.
Well, then you just prove that the courts are what run the country.
I'm just a little woman. I just took Rick Scott down. I don't be scared of him. I go up in court and I use their own laws against them. I don't sit around and talk about them like a dog and then don't do nothing else and worry about this
party. I do something else. I don't vote for a Democrat and I don't vote for a Republican and I don't vote for anybody they endorse.
Okay,
hold on, guys.
Not
going to win in court. We need people who know how to get up and face the government with their own laws and take them down. The kind of talk you do is not going to take them down. I need people who are intelligent, who I got people now calling me. We're getting ready to have a protest in front of U.S. District Court. We're going to be holding up signs. We're going to put them on notice. We're not just going to sit up and run our mouth and talk about it. We're going to get up and do something about it.
Okay.
So if you
okay,
if you don't have a way, hello.
Yeah. No. Okay, it's about 9:45. Well, I was going to have Nathan, why don't you go ahead and just say one last thing here real quick.
One last thing. I started.
And then Christine, I'm going to let you respond, and we'll wrap it up and make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of you and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, because I'm ready. I got people ready. We getting ready to take the government down. Sit up and just talk about it. We're going to take them down.
Okay, so Nathan, is this your last question or concern?
Christina, when I first started my conversation, I agreed with you for what you did or were doing on the alimony issue, and I pointed out the extremes. Thank you for getting the black people off of generational welfare, but it swung the other direction now, and the people that are generational welfare are predominantly white people. That's what I was saying, the government swinging the pendulum back and forth rather than getting out of running the family and the way people choose to live their life. Anytime we are faced with something that is bigger than us, it is not a choice. It is slavery. And that's what the government has been doing to the American family. I agree with you that you got a generation of people off of welfare, but something that's overlooked is it put a lot of people in the workplace that are riding down the road or in jobs because they know how to get around a drug test. So that's a problem that never got fixed. I'm going to hang up, and thank you for your service to America.
And thank you for your conversation, too.
Thanks,
now,
Nathan.
Sally, here's what I got to say to Rick. What was his name, Nathan? He talks a big game, but you got to do more than just talk. Everything he just said, it may or may not be true, but what is he doing to help it? I've already taken him down on the alimony issue. I put everybody on notice in the House and Senate and Rick Scott that they are facing a class action lawsuit because I found out that alimony is prohibited in Florida. Mr. Nathan hasn't done a thing. And the reason that the pendulum is swinging is because of the United States District Courts that are letting all these people come to America and they bumping us off our jobs. When I get through with this, the carpetbaggers are going to come right back down south and they're going to bump the Latinos and the Mexicans, all them off the jobs. They're supposed to be having job training programs for the Americans who have been disadvantaged by these counterfeit citizens. What I'm doing, see, he's just talking about it, but I'm a one single little woman. I get up in the federal court faces, and they owe me $80 million. I don't just talk about it. Everything, a lot of stuff that he's saying is true, but what is he doing to help stop it? We're going to be having protests in front of the U.S. District Court, regardless of what he says about the Republicans, and I feel sorry for him. He seems to be so obsessed. I don't know why he's obsessed with them. Because let me tell you something about the Republicans. They have not had the lead since 1994, so don't pay no attention to what they say. They don't have any power. They can talk all the stuff they want to talk, the same way as Nathan talks stuff too, but they don't have the lead. Now, in the state of Florida and these other states, all this stuff he said about what the Republican governors are doing, if they don't do it, they will get sued by the federal court, because the federal court wrote up all these laws that when these immigrants come into their state, they can't discriminate against them. They got to set up areas for them. See, he don't research what he's doing. He just looking. If it's a Republican, then he going to scream and holler without looking at why are they doing it. If they don't do it, the state will get sued. They
but, and, you know, again, it's I understand his frustration with the Republican Party. And first, I'm disgusted with Democrats,
Sally,
too.
You can't be frustrated. You got to go and find out what the law is and what the Constitution says. And you go to court and you stop it.
Here's where my frustration comes with both parties, not just one or the other. It's the party. That's why I'm a no-party affiliate. I left the Republican Party. But it's
I'm
because
running the NPA.
Right now, here in what the state of Florida did with the governor's race, forget all the other stuff. The Republican Party of Florida that manipulated the primary elections for the governor. They decided 2 years ago, the Republican establishment, said the candidate was going to be Rick Scott, not the people. The Republicans of Florida, had they tread a true choice, I guarantee you it would not be Rick Scott as the nominee. So that's my disgust, my frustration, is when they play those kind of games within themselves.
Here's what you do about that. Then you get up, and in the people's primary, you run another candidate. That's what we're doing. In Michigan, they had to do that. 40,000 people wrote in the name of a white man, black people, because they did the same thing what you're talking about, and they threw the white man's name off the ballot. But the black people wanted that white man, so 40,000 of them wrote in his name. So the Republicans who didn't want that should have got up and got some backbone like what I'm doing and put somebody out there and then go up in front of Rick Scott's face the way I did last Thursday and had the Coral Springs police officers helping me. He was so embarrassed, I took him down. And then I read the next day, 2 days later, Charlie Crist's polls were up 8% over Rick Scott from 2%, just that fast. You have to get up and do something about it. You can't just, I told them the same thing. I said, listen, you people need to have a knockdown, drag-out primary, because there's a lot of senators and things that you could send that might beat him. They didn't pay me no attention. So when they didn't do that, when I got the call from Dr. Talbert now, I said, I will help. And look, I'm tearing him a new one. Every chance I get, I'm tearing him a new one. And insofar as the legals go, yeah, he voted to put him in there, but technically the federal judges already voted that the state's supposed to do that anyway. But we were going to not do it and then fight it under Amendment 14. But he didn't want to do none of that. He wanted to do just what Rick Scott wanted to do. And let me tell Nathan something about traditional marriage. If he reads the Bible, Hosea chapter 2, verse 16, God says, my marriages are marriages of love and devotion between a man and his wife, not a legal ties marriage between a wife and her master. You got to understand, a legal ties marriage, God does not recognize them. These traditional marriages that give women power over the men is not recognized by God. Then when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 through 15, it tells you your body was paid for with a price, and you should not join or marry yourself with a prostitute or harlot. And then it closes by saying, do not sleep with the woman that you legally marry to get a wife. So what it's saying is, in the state of Florida and all across this country, in order for your marriage to be legal, you got to have a sexual consummation. If you don't, there can't be a bride price of alimony. Alimony is nowhere in the Bible. God says that my marriage is a marriage of love and devotion and not legal ties marriage, pay a bride price. So when you have that sexual consummation that gives you alimony, God is out of it. So the traditional marriage that he's talking about is not even recognized by God. And that's why if you go online to the Florida City Commission, you can see me telling off the homosexuals, telling them that they still are not equal with a man-woman marriage because God don't recognize it. And I wrote a new marriage certificate called a religious certificate of religious marriage of God. And on it, it has this man and this woman. It does not have man-man. That's the only thing God recognizes, and you don't have to go and get a state license. The government has to recognize a religious marriage, and you can take it to Social Security office. Then God recognized that. Have you noticed all these women that be getting killed in illegal marriages? Because they be trying to get a bride price of alimony, and that's why they get killed, because God say, do not do temple prostitution. When you walk up in that church and you swear before God that you just married this man and then you go out and you perform your sex acts with him to get alimony, you have just become a temple prostitute. So this is, and you can see this, or you can see me telling Jack Seiler, and I done told him this over and over again, including the Broward County Commissioners. I'm trying to work to fix it so people can get married again under God's law, where you don't need a state. Like, when you get the state license, you become a part of a state bondage ring where the man, the minute the man consummates with his wife, especially in Florida, he becomes a ward of the court. He has to turn in everything he owns over $100 if a divorce starts. So God is not in the so-called traditional marriage, and a lot of people get mad at me when I say that, but then a lot of people are now understanding, and they're to see what a religious marriage certificate look like. You can get a religious marriage without being involved in all the state stuff that give the attorneys the power to go. They can go into a judge's chamber just with a signature from the wife and take all of the man's money. But see, in a religious marriage, you can't do that because ain't no marriage license there. So the state don't have any authority at all. All the authority go to you and your husband to write up what y'all want to do, and that's filed with the Social Security office. You can get your insurance and everything under a religious marriage of God. And this is what we need to go to, and this will distinguish a man and a woman marriage from these homosexual marriages, because you, technically you can't stop them because the Constitution says, for the United States, it says nothing is written in the Constitution to deny or discourage any of certain rights of the people. You got the right to be as stupid as you want to be. If you're stupid enough to get with some man and catch some disease, then that's your right to be that stupid. And then the Florida alimony, the Florida law, Article 1, Section 2 says, all natural persons, both male and female, are equal in the eyes of the law with certain inalienable rights to pursue happiness and to defend life and liberty and acquire property. So you can't tell nobody who to pursue happiness with. The best thing you can do is don't be in the same system with them, because when we start the system back, a religious marriage without the marriage license where the state ain't got nothing to do with it, you will see families staying together. These divorce attorneys are deliberately breaking up marriages. They make big money. Do you know that they have men sleeping under bridges? They take all their money. And this is your traditional marriage that he's talking about, and he needs to know that it is not recognized by God. No. And we are going to go back to religious marriage, and people will be happy then. Once again, everybody will be happy. The families will stay together. The attorneys won't be able to entice women to try to take off their husband's money. You know, I just want people to be happy. And insofar as immigration goes, all we need to do is, like I told you, we got to go by the Constitution. We can't get frustrated. When you go by the Constitution and take it slow, Sally, that's when you scam. $80 million they owe me.
And now, remember, we got 1 minute. I want you to go ahead and give your website one last time.
www.com. C as in cat, F as in Frank, A as in apple, D as in boy, America.com. And remember, people, don't get frustrated. Call me at 954-770-4940, and I will show you how to use the Constitution and shut their mouth. Don't shoot from the hip. Hit them with the Constitution, and you will win.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. This has been a lively discussion. And
yes,
good luck with
I'm not mad at Nathan. I just want him to understand that he got to stop being frustrated and hit him with the law.
Yeah.
When he do that, he'll win.
Exactly. We all have to do what we can. We know what we have to do. We got to save this country, and we're getting closer.
Use the Constitution, and you've got it.
Yes.
They owe me $80 million. Remember, they owe me $80 million.
That's right.
I use the Constitution on them. I don't get mad and frustrated and holler at. I said, okay, Article 1, it says, guys, you lost. You won. That's what you get. and I want Nathan to call me, and he needs to meet with me and sit down and learn how to use the Constitution against them. I don't care who it is. Republican, I've done. He can get anybody he want to get if you know that Constitution.
Well, you and I are going to talk a little bit more about that too after the show's over. Now we're not on the air anymore. We're off the air.
Okay.
We just got off the air, so we just at the very end there.
Okay.
We got maybe just a few seconds left on the recording before that stops.
Okay.
But anyway, this has been great. I am going to be talking to you some more. I sent you some information. You'll be seeing
sure.
it in your email.
I want to meet with Nathan. I want Nathan to settle down and learn how to use the Constitution against them. If he settles down and learn how to open that book on them, when I walk up in front of their face, Sally, I have my book out, and they be scared.
Yes.
$80 million. And you know what? If an attorney get a hold to it, like what happened to the state of Michigan, and you can Google this, Google Neal class action. You're going to see where the state of Michigan, 17 years, well, actually about 20 years later, they had to pay $100 million for a claim that wasn't but a few million dollars when the black girls were getting raped in prison by the guards.
Yes.
Some judge gave them immunity, the state of Michigan, and I told them don't keep the immunity because they can get overturned. 17 years later, it got overturned. The attorneys put it back in for $2 billion. You can read it online.
Exactly.
So who knows? Some attorney might come along and take that City of Lansing case and do the same thing. Sally,
exactly.
I always beat them.
And we are going to carry this discussion on the next time you come on. We'll have to schedule when you're going to come back on.
I loved it, and I'm glad Nathan said all those things because he's got my mind is thinking now about different ways to go at this using the Constitution. So I got him covered. I got him covered.
Okay. Great talking to you.
Well, this was a very good session. I'm